It's the fruit of temperance. And we live in a world today that there are many problems due to a lack of temperance. People sometimes feel like their lives are out of control. Maybe you can identify with that. Man, Brother Gabe, my life is out of control. Or maybe the pressures and the circumstances are just too much. There's just too much going on, and I feel like I'm going to crack underneath this pressure. Or what's happening around me is overwhelming. I don't know that I can handle all that's going on in and around my life. And these are emotions and sentiments and feelings that people have in this world today. And we want to learn this morning about the fruit of temperance and how we can understand this fruit and attribute that God desires for you and I to have, and then to apply it to our everyday life. And so let's jump into this study this morning. Look at, first of all, temperance defined. Temperance defined. What are we talking about when we're talking about temperance? What does that mean? What does that look like? And how does that apply to our life? Well, notice with me, first of all, that temperance is self-control and discretion. Self-control and discretion. The dictionary defines temperance this way. And the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, "My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul and grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in thy way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble." Now, a person with temperance knows and understands the benefit of self-control. They know when to act and when to not act, and when to respond and when to withhold. And so temperance is the idea of self-control or discretion. But temperance also, let it be, is discipline. Paul talked about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempered in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." And Paul here was comparing the Christian life to an athlete, an Olympian, a marathon runner, and someone who's going to compete in a race, and they all were going to run, but one was going to win. One was going to get the prize. And Paul was talking about the dedication that they would have to win that prize, the way that they would discipline their bodies, the diet that they would have, the exercise regimen that they would commit to day in and day out. And Paul was challenging the believers, listen, if they're going to do all of that for a trophy or a prize or a crown or an award that in light of eternity means nothing, then how much more disciplined should the child of God be to earn the things that matter for all of eternity? If an Olympian is going to give years of their life to eat right and to exercise and to train that they might win a medal, what dedication and effort and investment should we make that we might have a crown to lay at the feet of the living Son of God? And that's what Paul was talking about, and that's not going to happen without discipline. Every goal in our life is not a reality without discipline. And there's no reward or medal for the athlete who has no self-control, and there's certainly no accomplishment that God desires to see in and through our lives without the fruit of temperance, the idea of self-control, discretion, and discipline. It's so very important that we have this in our lives. And when we don't, when this is omitted, when it's not in our life, our relationships, our life tends to be in a mess. And we see it in our marriages, in our families, our places of work. And we need to make a choice. Are we going to live a life that is disciplined by the grace of God, that is temperate by the Holy Spirit of God, or are we just going to kind of live it according to the way that we feel and the way that we want to respond or react to things that life tends to send our way? And so what is temperance? It's the idea of being under control, using discretion, having discipline, okay? That's what temperance is. And the Lord wants you and I to have it. So let's look secondly then at temperance displayed. Now, temperance can be displayed in many different venues of life, but I want us to look at three key areas of a believer who has the attribute of temperance in their life. Where does that show up? Like, where are they marketably different because they are temperate, okay? Because the Spirit of God is controlling them. I think there's three key areas. Number one, a disciplined physical life. Temperance is manifested in a disciplined physical life. Paul said, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. And the believer who is filled with the Spirit and who is empowered by God has the power to say no. And they are refusing things that would be harmful to their body, physically, emotionally, or whatever the case may be. The story is told of Sandy McIntyre, who during the days of the Northern Ontario Gold Rush found what is now the famous mine that bears his name. And just days after discovering the mine because of his addiction, he made the deal to sell the deed for $25 so that he could purchase the liquor that he so desperately wanted. The vine, just shortly thereafter, was found to have a vein of gold, which in years to come produced over $230 million worth of gold that came out of that mine that he gave away for $25 so that he could find his fix for his addiction. And throughout history, we see people making crazy decisions because of addiction, lust, hatred. Many undescribable and unthinkable things have taken place because somebody was just out of control because of some physical appetite. But someone who is displaying temperance, you see that in a temperate physical life. But then you see it, letter B, in a disciplined speech. Someone with temperance is disciplined in the way they speak. And there's really four areas that every believer should avoid in their communication. I put these in your notes. First of all, lying. The Bible says, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. If you and I this morning are a child of God, then we should be truthful in our communication with our spouse, with our family, in the workplace, when we clock in, when we clock out, what we're doing while we're on the clock. All of these things should speak to the fact that we're a child of God. And that it's not just the handbook at work that governs how we live. It's the Bible. It's the truth of the Word of God. There's something greater than the expectation that someone else might have. And that is the expectation that God has for us. And we want to please and honor Him in everything we say and in everything we do. And there's some communication we want to avoid. Certainly lying. Also, foul language. The Bible says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I think sometimes in our culture and society, if somebody gets mad, they start to say things that shouldn't be said with the idea that when they say them, it accentuates what they're saying and it kind of gives it more oomph and authority. Can I encourage our class this morning, when we degrade our conversation with corrupt communication, curse words and degrading speech, it's not emphasizing the message. It's spotlighting the individual and their inability to communicate with a controlled spirit. Just because somebody gets loud or says something unkind, or degrades into cursing, or whatever, doesn't mean that they're more upset or that their issue is more important. It just means they have no control. It's entirely possible to talk about something you're very passionate about that means a lot to you without ever raising your voice or saying a word that would be hurtful to the Lord Jesus Christ. But we're never going to do that in our life, in relationships and homes, unless we're temperate. Unless the Spirit of God is helping us communicate in a way, abstaining from these kinds of characteristics in our speech. staying away from insults. The Bible says in Proverbs 16:32, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. And also slander, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth the slander is a fool. And these are some communication characteristics that God wants you and I to avoid. And when we have the fruit of temperance, where the Lord has control, and we have discipline, and we have self-control, and we're using discretion, then we're avoiding this kind of communication. Friend, spiritual people are not known for running their mouth off. They're not known for just kind of saying it as it is, but they understand that their communication is important. It is weighed in eternity, and they will give an account for it. And so they want to use it to encourage and to edify. And even when they are spoken of wrongfully, or they disagree, they're still going to speak with temperance. It's going to be controlled. And when someone is living a temperate life, it's a controlled physical life, it's a controlled speech. And then we let her see that it's a disciplined thought life. We see this discipline in our physical life, in our speech, and in our thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now the Greek word here means the thoughts or fantasies against the truth of Christ or the revealed word of God. Listen, we recognize this morning we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? So when we have problems in life, it's not just with our spouse or with our kids or with our coworker or with our neighbor or with that person on Facebook or whatever. There's a ruler over this world. There's spiritual warfare that is a reality, and Satan wants to trip up every person in this room this morning. And when things are happening in our life and they're not going the way that we want, we have to be careful to be disciplined in our thoughts. We have to be careful. What are we thinking about? Because if we are reacting to something that is just in the imagination, it's not even real, it's something that Satan is trying to distract us with, we're going to be on the wrong course. And it's we got to be aware that before any wrong decision is ever made, opinions are being formed in our mind and heart all the time. That's why the Bible says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Guard your heart. And the real battle in our life is guarding our heart, guarding our mind. And if we're fantasizing about what could be or what could have been, if we're thinking about this, that, or the other, that thinking will lead to that kind of living. Never forget, an act is always thought about before it is committed. And so a person of temperance is disciplined in their thoughts. They're careful what they're thinking about. I believe that divorce is wrong. I believe the Bible is clear about that. I've encouraged some couples in our class even this week about that very thing. What God therefore had joined together, let no man put asunder. When I stood at the marriage altar with Susanna 17 and a half years ago and I said, I do, till death do us part, that was my word. And if my word means anything, then that commitment stands. But it is as wrong to think about another relationship or another person or another situation as it is to act upon it. And the thoughts always precede the actions. And so when someone is living a temperate life, they're having a disciplined thought life to cast down evil imaginations, to be careful of what is alive in their thoughts and in their heart. God says, guard your heart. So temperance, self-control, discretion, discipline. Have it on display physically and in your speech and in your thoughts. And then thirdly, let's look as we close at temperance developed. Now sometimes we may know truth, but living truth is an entirely different proposition altogether. And again, we have to run because I want to talk about this in our groups because I think it's so practical. But before we do, let me give you 7 principles for developing temperance in your life. I'm going to go right through this. You've got it in your notes, so you can review it this afternoon, okay? What are they? Number one, letter A, admit your weakness. Every man, when he is tempted, is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brother. Notice the pattern in James. First, there is lust. That's an issue of the heart. That produces sin. That's the act carried out that's been thought about. And then death is the result, whether physical, emotional, spiritual, whatever the case may be. The penalty comes. Now, we've got to be careful to admit our weakness. We can't just live life thinking, I've got it all figured out, I've got it all together, everything is fine, I don't need improvement anywhere. Friend, that's not the story of anyone in this room, including this preacher. So we all got to be willing to say, there's room for me to improve. I've got to be able to be willing to admit some weaknesses along the way if I'm going to develop some temperance in my life. What else must I do? Letter B, forget the past. Brother, and I count on myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Forgetting the past. We don't want to look at our life and say, well, maybe I'm just supposed to live this way, or maybe this sin is okay, or maybe this isn't that big of a deal. God wants you and I to live a victorious Christian life. And nobody in here is going to run their fastest in a pair of cowboy boots. And nobody in here is going to live the victorious Christian life and carry a bunch of sin with them. And so we have to forget the past. We have to live in the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ promises. I've got to be willing to admit, Lord, it's me, it's me, it's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I've got to forget my past. And then let her see, I must not allow my moods to manipulate me. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, we're either going to be controlled by the flesh or the spirit. That's true for everyone in here, and it is a choice. And I challenge all of us this morning, let's not allow our moods to manipulate us, but rather the Spirit of God to direct us. Listen, today is the Lord's day. We want to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. Now, some in here have reason to be happy. You woke up this morning, you are in love with God, you're in love with your spouse, the sun was shining, breakfast was delicious, the car ride was smooth, everything at church has been great, your favorite donut was there, nobody was in your seat, you got your coffee, it was hot. I mean, it's just been a perfect day. For some of you, it's been terrible. You overslept, you're sunburned, you're tired, you're grouchy, somebody ate your donut, somebody spilled coffee on you, somebody sat in your seat, and it's just a bummer. And life happens, good and bad, to everybody in this room. But we have to make the decision, what's going to control the way we live? Donuts, coffee, seats, moods, emotions, or God, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I've got to be willing not to be manipulated by those things. Letter D, I must believe that God can bring a change. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Your beliefs will determine your behavior. Friend, don't forget the promise, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And many of us believe that God can bring a victory, but do we believe He will in our life? And I challenge you with that thought this morning. I know that we serve a God who spoke the world into being in six literal 24-hour days. I know He's amazing, and I know He can do it. But you ask yourself this question. Do you believe He will in your life? Because if we're going to see what He wants us to see, we've got to believe that God can bring that change. Letter E, we must then become accountable. If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If we want to become temperate in certain areas, it's wise to have an accountability partner, a fellow believer, a brother for a man, or a sister for a lady, or a couple for another couple, someone more spiritually mature than you. Who can keep me accountable in this area? Letter F, I must then avoid temptation. Be angry and sin not, let out the sun go down upon your wrath, and neither give place to the devil. Someone once said, if you flee temptation, do not leave a forwarding address. If you don't want rotten apples, stay out of the devil's orchard. And you and I must be careful to flee temptation. if we want to live a temperate life, controlled, discretion, discipline, then stay out of an area of weakness or temptation that Satan may have for us. Letter G, depend on God's power. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Man, Gabe, I just cannot get victory over this particular area. Friend, memorize this first, Galatians 5:16. This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Can I challenge you with this thought? Stop trying and start trusting. Stop trying and start trusting. If you're trying to do this in your own power, you're going to wear yourself out and lose. Or trust God. Be filled with His Spirit and enjoy the victory that God has for you. God will put the desires in our hearts that He has for us, and He'll give us the power to live accordingly. So you know the baseline of this thought this morning? The secret to self-controlled living is really giving Christ control. And let's understand the need this morning to live a temperate life. Not controlled by me, because it'll be a mess and it'll be out of control, but controlled by Jesus Christ. A controlled, disciplined life that's manifested in the way that I live, speak, and think, and an understanding of how to develop it. And maybe some area where I need that temperance, and the Lord could help me develop that this week.